Are you ever at like a plant shop or a garden center or just a random party and you make a plant friend and you just like connect instantly and you're like, this person is like joy incarnate? Well, that happened for me when I met today's guest, Claudia, of In the Garden with Claudia on YouTube. I met her a couple of years ago at the Northwest Flower and Garden Show, and I was just so taken by her joy and her excitement and her unbelievable garden. So I've been following Claudia now on social media for over a year, and I live for her stories of her cut flower garden, you know, that runs from like June through September. Like Claudia is one of the most exquisite cut flower gardeners, hobbyists that I've ever met. She's totally transformed her backyard into this gorgeous cut flower garden that went from kind of chaotic beginnings that she's going to tell you about to thousands of blooms and even a budding flower business. When I invited Claudia to come on the podcast, I thought we were going to do more of a like how to grow cut flowers conversation. And you're definitely going to learn how to grow cut flowers within this context of the conversation. But really, this conversation is an exploration of the absolute joy that growing cut flowers can bring you and how cut flowers can really help you cultivate community, which is what Claudia is so darn good at doing. So I hope this conversation brings a smile to your face as big as the smile was on my face when I was having it.
Welcome to the Growing Joy with Plants podcast, where we not only learn how to care for plants successfully, but how to simply and affordably use our plant babies to cultivate more joy in our lives by doing so. I'm Maria, former plant killer turned happy plant lady, author of Growing Joy, The Plant Lover's Guide to Cultivating Happiness, speaker, podcaster, and most importantly, your new best plant friend. On Growing Joy with Plants, you'll find conversations about houseplant care, gardening tutorials, and wellness through the lens of plants.
Plant care is self-care on Growing Joy.
Hello, plant friends. My name is Maria. If you're new here, hi, I'm your new best plant friend. And if you're a returning guest, returning listener, welcome home. So honored to be a part of your planty journey and so honored to share this conversation with Claudia with you, as it truly just brought the biggest smile to my face. And like, she's such a great follow. I just adore her garden and her cut flowers, and I like aspire to be her one day. I can't grow the flowers that she grows in Florida, but I'm just like completely obsessed with her garden. So anyway, I hope you become completely obsessed with her as well. But besides that, I just wanted to say, if you're loving the show, please take a minute and send this episode or another episode you've listened to someone who you think might love it. And if you have requests for upcoming episodes or topics you'd like me to find an educator for, or styles of episodes that you've really been enjoying that you want to see more of, my door is always open. You can find me at Growing Joy with Maria on Instagram and TikTok, and you can always email me at maria@growingjoywithmaria.com. And of course, join my newsletter, which is a weekly newsletter where I send emails to you guys telling you about what's bringing me joy in and out of the garden every week. And I don't use AI. I barely edit it. They're filled with typos because I really just want them to be like the rawest version of myself. And if you want to join the newsletter, you can absolutely click the link in the show notes to do so. But without further ado, here is Claudia.
Joy.
So excited to chat with you today, Claudia.
Me too. I have been waiting for this for a while now.
Like 2 years. I know when I met you over a year ago at Northwest Flower and Garden Show, then I like fell in love with you back then. And I was like, this girl is like, she is so fun. And then getting to see you again in Seattle this year, you're just, I don't know. I just feel like you're one of the real ones in the gardening space and the growing space. And I'm so excited to, frankly, as your fan, as your follower now, I've been your follower for a while, just kind of like nerd out with you about your gorgeous flower garden.
Thank you. The love is mutual. When I learned about you, I was like, who is this girl? And are we going to be friends? And like, I was really like, is she going to like me?
Oh, we were going to be friends whether or not you wanted to be friends with me, because I was going to make it happen.
It was going to happen. The universe said, these two are meant to be friends. And here we are.
We decided. Yes. So I want to know, okay, so you have, in my opinion, one of the most iconic cut flower gardens that I think every person who dreams of having a cut flower garden in their backyard, like a hobby cut flower garden, I think you have the dream.
Thank you.
Where did this begin? Like, have you always been a gardener? Mm-hmm. Were you connected to flowers growing up? Like, what has your journey been getting to the iconic golden hour pans of your, you know, back, your garden's in your backyard, right?
It is.
Like, what got you to the iconic pans of your backyard filled with all the flowers I've ever seen in my whole life?
That is such a compliment. First of all, thank you. I feel like I've arrived. So I think back in 2000, okay, first of all, gardening, I was originally born in Brazil, and Brazil's like gardens and flowers are very different than like what we have here. I mean, they're similar, but they're different. My grandma has always loved flowers and roses, and I like have clear memories of her being in her like container garden outside. And so like, I think I always had this like love for flowers. And it's funny because I look back now at like my notebooks from like elementary school and middle school, high school and college. Like I kept all of that stuff, not all of it, but you know, a good portion of it. And I just see doodles of flowers everywhere. And I'm like, full circle moment, because I, you know, wanted to be a dentist, going into research, now working a corporate job. And then I got into gardening. So gardening really started for me, like truly, I would say 5-6 years ago. Like we bought our house, we tore everything up.
What zone are you in? Where are you?
Yeah. So we're in Oregon. We're in the Pacific Northwest here in the Portland area. And so we garden in zone 8B, but I feel like we're swinging into 9 right now because it's been like weirdly warm for us. Yeah. So then we just like, we ripped everything out that was on this property except one tree. And we garden in about a quarter of an, like a little over a quarter of an acre, our whole property. So we made so many mistakes along the way, fell in love with trees, started planting flowers. I always knew I wanted like a flower spot. Like I would grow, before we bought the house, I had like containers where I would grow lilies and like random little flowers and sunflowers. I never had like my own thing. And so when we got the house, I like went to town, right? And started growing like pumpkins and random things. And then really flower was like the center of it for me. Yeah. And so that's how it started. And then, you know, we can talk about like, we leveled our backyard and started to build this like dream cut flower garden. But it really started like more on a serious note, like around 5 years ago for us. When,
what they coincided with a home purchase that like you had more control over the land and like what you actually wanted to build out. You were a dentist? Yeah.
No. Okay. So I was a pre-dental student. I got into dental school. I wanted, like, I was going to go to dental school here in Oregon. OHSU was like my dream school. No. And this was at the same time that I was working at OHSU running a research lab. And when I worked at the at OHSU, I fell in love with data. And I never in a million years like expected to like data or do anything with it. Like I just was all about teeth. Like that's what I was going to do since I was 11. And then, you know, here I am like getting ready to like, you know, send off all of my paperwork and all of that. And I just had this like epiphany, like, I don't think I want to do this. And, you know, my whole family just had a panic attack.
I was like, going to say, what your parents think?
They were like up in arms. And my husband was the only one that was like, no, you shouldn't go to dental school. Like, you should just do what you want. Because as soon as you go, like, you're not going to be able to just like willy-nilly leave because you're going to have, you know, $500,000 in debt.
Right.
And all of these things. So I explored data, but then COVID hit and our research lab got shut down.
Okay.
And yeah. And so the professor I worked for, it was, you know, decades and decades of work that we just basically had to toss. And that was really hard. Like, that was hard for him. That was hard for me because I was supporting his work and we were writing papers and all of those things. So that's when I really started getting into gardening because I thought, well, I want to create a garden. So might as well do it now because I lost my job. I didn't have a job and I was applying everywhere. But, you know, COVID times, it was hard to get a job anywhere. And then, of course, I had like a mental breakdown because I was like, did I make a mistake? Like, should I have just gone to dental school? You know, my dental app, my DAT score. So that's kind of like the, I think MCAT equivalent to that. Like, those are good for a few years. So I was like, do I just apply again? Anyways, didn't apply again. Ended up landing a corporate job, which I love. And here I am today, like doing YouTube and all of this.
Yeah. So flower farming or gardening for you was an outlet in having lost your job, having uncertainty, I would assume the control over building your garden out and like pruning and, you know, everything, the maintenance that require, that flowers require. What did your first couple of seasons of garden look like? Like, what did your first couple of summers look like?
Okay, chaotic.
Yeah.
It was like, so I am an OCD person. And okay. I it's hard to be OCD and try to fight Mother Nature when you just need to garden with her instead of against her, right? So I was just like, I like everything neat all of the time. I like straight lines, you know, things like that, which I learned quickly, like, that's not always going to happen. The first year that we got the house, first couple of years, we didn't do a lot of infrastructure. So we just worked with what we had. We had like 4 raised beds, like they were proper raised beds. They were like 4x8s. We put in 2 more and we grew a bunch of tomatoes and then we grew a bunch of flowers. So I had like, you know, beds of lilies and dahlias. And the funny thing is I learned a lot of what I know by doing it. So cut and come again flowers. So those are the flowers that you cut and they continue blooming and branching. So I remember that first or second year I was growing zinnias and I remember cutting it and they started to branch. And I was like, what? Look at this. Like more of them are coming. You know,
you're like, does anybody else know about this technique? Yes, exactly. Did I just discover this?
Yeah. And I was like, is this a thing? I didn't know. Like, I didn't know. Right. So it was all like a new, like a kid learning something new, you know, like through those lenses. And then, of course, because I'm a nerd, I started to like do more research and like really learning about flowers and how they behave. And so I learned that way. But really, like, I made a lot of mistakes. And we had this designated space for growing tomatoes and flowers, but we also landscape around our whole property. So that is like another big thing for me. Like I have my cut flower space, but I also landscape everything. And so that first, again, the first couple of years, we were just, I had a bunch of things in nursery cans, things like trees were dying because we weren't keeping them watered enough. It was kind of chaos, but it was like a beautiful start, you know, because we just learned so much.
Yeah, you were.
And I think like fire. As gardeners, especially new gardeners, you just have to embrace that you're going to kill plants, you're going to kill trees, you're going to kill flowers, and it hurts because one, you put your time into, and two, money, right? Mm-hmm. But you learn, like that's the best part about gardening. It just teaches you lessons year after year after year. So
totally, I'm like shocked at how much I failed in Florida gardening. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I, as you know, a podcaster with 300 episodes on gardening, and like, you know, eight years of gardening under my belt in Zone 5B, like I can't believe the level of failure I experienced this year with my first garden in South Florida, because a lot of it is learning and being like, oh, this is why, you know, like
that's funny. You know?
But it motivates you.
It does. And we actually have quite a few subscribers in Florida.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I need to like tap on you for some of these questions because again, the climates are so wildly different.
They're so different.
What I mean?
And they really different things. And it's honestly, you know, it's interesting. When I moved to Florida, I interviewed Janie from Dig Plant Water Repeat and Robbie from, they're more Zone 9, but like I interviewed other hot gardeners, like a couple of gardeners in Arizona. And I just was trying to get a sense for that, like hotter climate. And even though I read a couple of books on Southern Florida gardening, it's different applying knowledge sometimes. And also this year we had like a kooky, like almost freeze. Yeah. There's no freeze date in my 10B, but we had like week of really quote unquote cold weather for Floridians. Tropical plants, you know, they really can't stand being in 35 degrees. So, you know, I lost some plants that way. So yeah, there's just like stuff I can't plan for, but it's got me so excited for next year. I've been like, okay, I'm ready to party now.
Yeah.
Cut flowers were always on your, so you started year one with a couple of beds with cut flowers. And then when did you decide cut flowers are my passion? Like I'm going in, I'm going ham on.
Right. Yeah. I think it was probably season 3, I would say 2 or 3. I always knew I love flowers. Like that wasn't, nobody was going to like pull me away from that. And then I think it was year 3 when we, if I'm not mistaken, that we leveled our backyard. So we, again, ripped everything out, all of the trees, took everything out. And I knew I wanted a huge space for cut flowers. Like that was going to be the center of my garden. And I wanted to grow like a farm, but within a garden space. So sometimes gardeners will see my cut flower garden. Like, oh, why didn't you design it like, you know, with more angled beds, or like you could have put a fountain in the middle and like a greenhouse. And like, yes, that all sounds so lovely. But for me, it was all about production.
Really?
How much? Yeah. 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 Like I wanted to grow in rows. I wanted to just plant as many things as I could. I plant really tightly. I don't follow the rules on spacing, but it still had to feel beautiful because again, it is in the center of my garden in the back.
See, I've been really intentional about what I'm putting in my body, particularly when it comes to sugars and dyes and all the weird stuff that we find in packaged food. And I am so thankful that I have had Manucora Manuka honey in my back pocket for years now as my go-to sweetener for coffees, yogurts, and sometimes just as a little snack on a spoon. You've heard me talk about Manucora honey on this podcast because I use it in my coffee to make my brown sugar shake and espresso dupe. It is this rich, creamy, caramel tasting honey. It's unlike any honey you've ever tasted. Even just by looking at it, you know it's like so much better than your, you know, grocery store honey bear. But it's not only delicious, it's ethically produced by Manucora's master beekeepers in the remote forests of New Zealand. And it has bioactives in it that have 3 times more antioxidants and prebiotics than regular honey. And these help support your cells and gut. And all you need is 1 heaping teaspoon each morning to get the most out of those bioactives. So if you've been hearing these ads for a while, because you know I've been loving Manucora for years, and you've been curious, now is a great time to try it. Head to manucora.com/bloom to save up to 31% on your first purchase. Plus, you get $25 worth of free gifts with the starter kit. It comes with the MGO 850+ Manuka honey jar. I've gone through so many of those. 5 honey travel sticks, which are amazing for vacations, a wooden spoon, and a guidebook. So check it out at Manucora, manukora.com/bloom to save 31% plus $25 worth of free gifts.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, we just bit the bullet and we hired people to come. They leveled everything off. We put irrigation in and then we started to build our beds. And I just designed this, like, this was just a vision I had in my head. I wasn't looking for inspiration on Pinterest. Mm. In hindsight, maybe I should have, because, you know, there's a lot of really great ideas out there. But I had a vision and like nobody was going to take that vision away. Like I really just wanted short beds, gravel pathways, and again, just maximize the amount of space that we have to grow the amount of flowers that I do. So that's really like how it started. Like I'm going in because this is something I want to pursue later down the line.
Mm-hmm. So you did that leveling and raising like in the spring so that you could fill and plant and execute in that first build?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It was like that first year. And it's funny because we didn't have money to do everything that I wanted, you know, like, because we were also in the middle of completely remodeling our house. Mm. So it was like hard, like for a year, I had my beds were in, my flowers were in, but all I had was landscape fabric. I didn't have edges. I didn't have gravel.
Mm.
So it's kind of, you know, in the beginning, I was like so shy about showing all of my garden because I was like, oh, I don't have this ready. I don't have this ready. But I'm like, who cares? Like, look at my beautiful flowers. Like, look at what a good grower I am. I was like patting myself on the back.
It's funny because I think about that and I'm like, I think you were smart not to go on Pinterest because when I think of your garden, I think of the flowers being the star of the show. Like, you don't need a fountain. You have... thousands of dahlias. Like you don't need.
And it's like, it's true. Like I have so many dahlias. And again, the flowers are the star of the show. They're like my soul, you know, my flowers. I'm really connected to my flowers, like very emotionally connected to them.
Mm-hmm.
I really am. Like to a point where I can't explain it, but.
Yeah. I mean, there are studies and assumptions. I mean, also assumptions that like the human body, the human nervous system has a connection to flowers because. Mm-hmm. When we were evolving, flowers usually meant food, like on the other side of it, you know, the flower, you know, Freud like wrote about flowers. Mm-hmm. Like there has been this human connection to flowers for all of eternity. Did you choose, like, did 1 year you get really good at dahlias and then the next year you did zinnias and then the next year you did, you know, whatever, like the next thing? Or did you kind of every year grow a smattering of everything?
Yeah, I think, so the first year I grew dahlias, I actually didn't really like them, which is like taboo to say, right? Because they're like my flower now.
Yeah.
And I think because I bought different varieties, I bought them from a nursery, but they all came out the same. So I think there's probably like labeling mistakes that happened. I don't know. And then I was like, they're okay. Like, you know, I was really into zinnias at that time. Like I was into lilies and zinnias.
Mm.
And then the next year I got my hands on Cafe au Lait Dahlia and I was like, my gosh, like this is it. Like that's the one. She is the queen. And then I really started getting into dahlias, I would say about third year, like learning more about like the varieties, the shapes, the forms. And I dove in, like you wouldn't believe, like dahlias were my life. Like it was the only thing I would talk about. It was like the air I breathed, to the point where my family's like, stop talking about them.
Yeah.
Just stop. Yeah. So I got into them. But and then I feel like how I'm a really good grower of dahlias. Like, I feel like I understand them really well. I can grow them really well. I've learned so many tips and tricks. I did take Florette's farming course as well. So I learned a lot from her and I've made some really great friends in the flower community, like, you know, the big dogs in the flower community. So it's really great that I have those relationships now. But and then I'm getting back into zinnias, understanding more of how they behave and how we hybridize them. And then I think probably last year and the year before, I started to branch out more into like the filler flowers, like phlox, zeanthus, blue disc flowers, all of like the more like whimsy flowers, right? The ones that like add just like airiness to a bouquet. So I have one bed designated to like a mixed bed. So dahlias are foremost. I have one bed designated to just zinnias. I also love cosmos. I'm getting it back into cosmos more. But yeah, and I also just want to branch out to all of the other flowers that we often see in arrangements and play around, like scabiosa. They, you know, they're so great in the garden and the landscape. And I like to use cut flowers in the landscape as well. A lot of people will lean on bedding annuals, which I also love, but cut flowers also make a really good bedding annual, depending on the variety. So I think every year I just pick something new to get into.
Yeah, that's interesting, especially if you know, your priority kind of for your garden was real estate. It makes sense that you're like, yeah, I'm not wasting real estate on filler flowers. But then after a couple of years of growing the star flowers, you're like, oh, yeah. These bouquets look weird unless I have filler flower for them.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. That's really interesting. So it was the Cafe au Lait for you. Now, are you starting all of these from seed? So are you doing your zinnias from seed too?
Yeah. So Maria, I grow like 4,000 or 5,000 seeds every year. Like,
where are you growing them? Are you starting them indoors?
I am. So I start pretty much everything indoors. A lot of things you can direct sow, but I just have no patience. And I want to be ensured that like what I plant, I'm going to have in that space. So I'm not wasting any time, right? Uh-huh. So like with zinnias, direct sowing, great. But I like to start everything indoors. I don't know like in what delusional world I think I have the space to plant all of those flowers. Yeah, because like, every year I have a ton of extra, but I always give them away to friends and neighbors. So like my neighbors don't even do flowers anymore because they're just expecting my stars at this point.
So is it your basement? Like where, because you mentioned you don't have a greenhouse. So like where's the setup? What does the setup look like?
Yeah, it's really great. I've done a couple of videos on this on my YouTube channel, but I have, so we're in my office now. There's a bathroom and then there's another small room. And we call that the seed starting room. And so I just have the Costco racks, you know, those metal racks on wheels. And then I use just regular shop lights. Like you guys, you don't have to buy the fancy hundreds of dollars. No, don't do that. I use shop lights, T8 fluorescent bulbs.
I just don't think you're doing T8.
Yes. Yeah, I do. And I like the fluorescents. Don't like the... What's the other one? Yeah, I don't like the LED ones. I like the fluorescent. And so we have three lights hanging on each shelf. And then I can put four trays on each shelf. And I like to use the 50 cell trays. You can go 72, but I'm so lazy that I don't like to bump anything up. Agreed. So they just stay in the 50 cell. I start them, I harden them off. And so you have to rotate. So you have to be really like, you have to be savvy with your like the calendar of starting things and starting things just on time. That way you can rotate things out and then bring more stuff in. Yeah, I could like on a good year, I can start about 4,500 seeds, no problem. Yeah.
My goodness. And is this dahlia tubers as well?
No, that's just seeds. So dahlias, we usually plant around 450. That's where we start out with. I'm still, this is embarrassing, you guys. What is it? We're in April, first week of April, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we are still digging up dahlias. And I have a ton of tubers that I still need to divide.
My gosh.
So I was going to sell this year, but our website's not up. And I also want the ag here in Oregon to come come look at my garden before, and so I can get my certificates to ship over, ship wherever I need to. Yeah. So I want to do it right. And I didn't really know all of this until this last year where my friends are like, oh, wait, you should get your certificates. Mm-hmm. That way there's no issues. And I'm like, didn't know about that.
Oopsies. And are you just going to sell dahlias, or are you going to do like zinnia seeds and stuff too?
I think eventually I would like to start selling seeds too, but I think dahlias are my main focus right now. Yeah. But yeah, I definitely feel like having a curated collection of like my favorites, I think is something that I'm really curious about and doing like in the future for like the gardeners, you know, the home gardeners, the hobby flower growers, the microflower farmers. And yeah.
I love that. Yeah. That's my biggest pain point right now, at least in my, now we just bought a house, we're moving. So I'm excited. I feel like I'm going to go through something very similar that you went through when you purchased that home, where now I'm like, okay, this is my land. How am I going to do this?
Yeah.
And I have to have this baby first. And then, you know, I have to like figure out how to like feed and clothe the baby. And then I'm going to figure out the flowers. Yeah. But I feel like with cut flowers specifically, it's very hard to get good starts at the store. Even particularly with dahlias, like I feel like there's so many of those mini dahlia varieties.
Oh, and then
you get the long stem zinnias and the long stem dahlias. Like I have not had much success with getting them at the garden center. And I feel like with the varieties that I want, I have to start them from seed.
Okay.
And
well, here's the thing. I will send you dahlias.
What do you mean?
I will send you tubers when you're ready.
Oh, tubers. Like, okay.
Yeah.
I can't. I would have to grow them in zone 10B in the fall for the winter.
Okay.
So that could be perfect because you have time to divide them and then you can send me some tubers and I'll start them indoors in like August because it's too hot here in the summer. Oh, we have the reverse growing season as you guys do. But because it's the starting for cut flowers, it's the starting from seed where I'm a seedling girl. I go because I'm an edible gardener. So I go and get my starts at the local garden center. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I just haven't found good like cut flower starts.
Okay.
And I've collected a bunch of seeds and I grew dahlias once, but I grew dahlias in zone 6 where you had to dig them up in the summer. Like they would freeze.
That
makes sense for me. But so, okay. So your backyard view, you know, the iconic pan that you have is like, it's golden hour and it's just dahlia after zinnia after flowers. It's just beds tumbling on each other, tall, gorgeous, amazing, so beautiful. So what is your planting strategy? You're starting everything indoors and then are you doing one big planting weekend? Are you succession planting? Like, how do you execute this?
Yeah.
It's a full-time corporate job.
Yeah. Yeah. People always ask, like, how do you do it? I'm like, well, I just don't sleep. Like, that's just the honest truth. Like, between, you know, gardening, YouTube, and corporate job, I'm like working 70 plus hours a week. It's just the truth. So it's funny because I have control issues too. So I don't want anybody planting my flowers. So my husband's always like, can we help? And last year was the first year that I actually let him and my stepdad help because I was in England and the dahlias, I still had dahlias to plant. So they did that. And though I was very specific, I was like, I was on FaceTime with them every night. Like, no, don't do that. Don't, you know, do that. I mean, bless their heart. Because listen, I would hang up the phone and say, absolutely not. So the dahlias usually come around Mother's Day for us is when we plant them. Mm-hmm. Because you want to plant dahlias when temps don't dip below around 55 degrees. You want the soil temperatures to at least be 55 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are so warm this season, I'm going to plant them out in April this year. They're already in the ground and a lot of them are starting to to like sprout. You know, there's no reason why it can't. Our biggest issue is rain. So if, you know, I'm digging them out and I plant them again, if they're not actively growing yet, there is the risk of rot because it does rain a lot in the springtime. So usually my cut flowers will go in first, and I do pick like a week and then I put everybody out. So right now I'm in the middle where I'm just starting to harden things off. So where I'm taking all of my trays, I'm putting them on the deck. I leave them there for a couple of hours the first day, bring them back in. So just like they're high maintenance and like during this week. But and then I'm like, okay, survival of the fittest. You're going to spend the night outside. And if we do good, then you're going to be going out into the garden within like a week. Usually those cut flowers will go first and then the dahlias will come second. This year, I'm going to try to marry everybody together and see how that goes.
Are you doing, are you starting the tubers indoors or are you direct planting the tubers outdoors?
I'm direct planting. Yeah, okay. I'm direct planting. You can pre-sprout them, which is a really good way of telling, like being able to tell if you have a virus, you know, or virus dahlia or disease dahlia. So that is a really good way of doing it. Actually, my friend Twyla just told me that. And I was like, oh, interesting. I didn't think about that. But we just, I don't know. I mean, we could. I mean, we do have the space to do it, but I don't know if I want to. It just seems and like a more commitment.
Are you monoplanting? You said you have one bed for dahlias, one bed for filler, one bed for zinnia. So you're, are you planting in very intense rows within your garden bed?
Yeah, I do. Dahlias, you typically want to plant them about a foot apart. I plant them about 10 inches apart.
Okay.
Like, yeah, I plant them close, sometimes a little bit closer, but I stay on top of it. You know, like I make sure I'm stripping the bottom leaves so they have enough airflow. So in each bed, our beds are about four foot wide, 16, 17 feet long. Okay. So I plant them three rows of dahlias in each bed. And I do like to keep them, like the dahlias are with the dahlias. The zinnias can be mixed with other flowers, but I just like to have them all in one just so I can observe them. Like it's just easier that way. And then all, you know, the mixed bed is like mixed bed. So there's everything in that bed. And I think I'll always grow like that. Like I think the dahlias will always kind of be on their own. I do amend the soil every single year. So I give them a lot of nutrients and like really amp up and charge up the soil before we plant anything. Biotin water fertilizer.
Yeah. What are you using? Let's talk about.
I feel like I should own Biotone starter fertilizer from a smoker. Yeah. That's like my favorite thing.
We're a smoker.
I just like, we get it. It has really transformed our garden. It's transformed our soil. It's transformed our plants. And the dahlias love it. So I, even like when I scale up to a flower farm, I will be using Biotone. Like you can't convince me otherwise.
I put it in my house plant. I use it on everything
too. Do you?
Yeah.
I do want to ask you about that. Cause like, maybe that's what I need to start doing too. Cause I don't, I haven't heard other people talking about it, but you do.
Yeah.
You have incredible plants.
I sprinkle a little bit in the, when I plant up a planter, I sprinkle just a little bit of Biotone at the bottom. Cause obviously it's a container, it's a house plant. So you have to, you can't go like full out with it the way you can kind of in a garden.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I find it helps with the roots. I mean, it does what it says it does. It helps with the roots with transplant shock. And then do you use compost too? Or are you just using Biotone to amend?
Yeah, no. Compost every year. Last year, I did the land and sea compost. And it was kind of an experiment for me because it does have nitrogen and a lot of people are like, oh, dahlias don't like nitrogen. They actually do need nitrogen to get going.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then I feel like land and sea is a very, I mean, it's a special formula. Before I was just getting bulk compost because I needed a lot of it because our beds, like every year I was just adding more as things settle. And then I feel like we got to a good level and it's like, I don't really need to bring in, you know, bulk compost at this point. So I tried the land and sea and everything flourished so much. So this year we're going to do the same thing. We're doing land and sea for all of the beds. A veggie bed, that's going to get the mushroom compost. Also from Miss Foam. It'll be my first year trying.
Excited. Our friend Nick loves, our friend Nick Katsupkis loves that mushroom one. Yeah. I haven't used the mushroom one yet either. I'm a land and sea girl, but you'll have to report back.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, so giving them a head start, also having irrigation, all of that plays into the success of the flowers growing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I also like to plant in rainbow.
That's why it's so aesthetic that you subtly have this gradient going on. Oh, yeah. That makes a lot of sense. And then throughout the summer, are you adding fertilizer or you really just set the soil up in the beginning and then you let them ride it out?
Right. Yeah. I actually do come in and I fertilize them.
Mm-hmm.
Usually about 3 weeks to 4 weeks after we plant the dahlias, once they start coming up, I will give them a good feeding.
Okay.
I used to use this one fertilizer called More Bloom. It's like M-O-R-B-L-O-O-M. And then last year I started to use the flower, the liquid flower fertilizer from Espoma. Mm-hmm. And they did well with that. I felt like I didn't have to go back and fertilize them as often. Mm-hmm. I do think like the beginning is really where you set up your soil. So if you can get compost, like whatever compost you can get your hands on, like a good, clean compost. And then if you can get your hands on like the Biotone Starter fertilizer, that's going to be like your toolbox for success right there. And then, yes, I do come in, like zinnias don't really need a lot of fertilizer. So if things look a little like wimpy, I will come in and give them like a liquid feed.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, I think I did it like pretty frequently, like every 3 to 4 weeks, and they didn't really need it. Like I felt like maybe I don't need to give them so much, but they loved it too. You know what I mean? Like they were growing bonkers.
Busters.
Yeah, yeah.
And you mentioned that you have irrigation. So you have irrigation in the beds at the soil level?
At the soil level. So we use drip tape for all the cut flowers, which is what I recommend for anybody growing flowers. If you're growing in rows, that is, you know, if you're growing out in your landscape, you should still have drip. But and because we are growing in rows, we just use drip tape and it works really good. Like all of the beds are in their own zone because they don't need water every day. Dahlia is like a deep water every couple of days. So instead of doing like 10 minutes every day, we might do like 40 minutes, break it up every couple of days. Of course, if it's hot, I will come in and I'll hose them off. Like they will get a good hose off. If it's like, if we're getting high up there, like in the 90s, like the high 90s, I feel like I just can't water them enough. So I will hose them, leaves and all, you know, just to cool them down a bit.
So then in terms of other maintenance, you mentioned that you're going through, you're staying on your beds and you're removing the bottom leaves. Like what else for someone like me who's followed you for years, wants to do my first bed, you know, it's a couple of beds. Yeah. What are the things that I might not know that I could learn from you from? Like in terms of you mentioned removing those bottom leaves for airflow, like what are the other things I should be doing on a daily or weekly basis?
Right. So on a daily basis, like I actually walk my rows every single day, multiple times a day, because I'm always checking also for like, I do for like any disease, pest or virus. When your plants are unhappy and you have pest or virus pressure, they're just not going to perform well. So it's really important for you to know like what's happening with your flowers. And I think a lot of people miss this step. And it could just be like 5 minutes a day. I mean, you know, like why not go? And plus it like recharges your whole day to be out by your flowers. So if I could recommend a couple of things is yes, strip the leaves off of the bottom. So once they start growing to about like 2-3 feet, I'll come in and just remove those bottom leaves because they're not even doing anything. They, you know, there's no light really going to them. Yeah. Yeah. Pull them off, give them a little bit more airflow, especially if you're growing densely like I am. Two, always check for pests, virus. You can, I mean, you'll be able to tell, like if you start to see like the wilt virus, it has like these circles around the leaves. Because I don't want that to spread to all of my flowers, I will pull the whole plant out and throw it in the garbage.
Mm.
It's really hard. And if you're not, and here's the thing, if you're not growing to sell, is it the end of the world that you keep it? No, because over 90% of dahlias are diseased. They just don't all show signs of it.
Right.
But they've done blind tests where like pretty much everything is diseased these days. So I do that. The other thing is deadhead. Like everybody forgets to deadhead and cut their flowers. They're there for you to cut and enjoy.
And people jump with it. They don't like it. They don't like it.
No. But, well, my husband always laughs. He's like, look at all of your flowers. And I'm like, I love them so much that I don't want to cut them. And he's like, that's insane. Because I do like just enjoy looking at them. But if you deadhead your flowers, especially dahlias, zinnias, moschus, sunflowers, snapdragons, fox, anything like that, that's like a cut and come again, they're just going to get bigger and shoot out more branches mm-hmm. for you. So you have to cut deep as well. I always say, like, instead of cutting like a 6-8 inch, you know, stalk, cut like 12, 14 inches down because you're going to get more bottom branching and you're going to have a more robust plant that way. Do you know what I mean? So it's not going to be just like long and leggy. You're going to have like a nice rounded plant if you cut deeper and if you cut often. So again, just deadheading your flowers is so important to keep it going, because as soon as you allow things to start going to seed, your flower is going to like shut down into growing mode, into seed setting mode. Mm-hmm. So, you know, people make that mistake. Like, why am I not getting, you know, as many blooms? I'm like, well, because you've signaled your flower to set seed because you're not cutting them or you're not deadheading them enough. So those things are important.
So here's something that I've always wondered about. Yeah. You said you have 450 dahlias and then mm-hmm. you're starting how many seeds indoors? 1,200? Is that what you said?
No, about 4,000.
4,000. Okay. So you have upwards of 4,500 plants in your backyard. Right. So yeah. In the peak of your growing season.
Yeah.
That's like 40,000 flowers.
So it's insane.
You know, like assuming like each plant has 10 flowers, maybe five, yeah. even on the low, that's 20,000 flowers.
Right.
What do you do with all the flowers that you grow? Because you do have to deadhead, you do have to pinch. So yeah. you want the cut and come again.
Right.
Like, are you paying people to take these flowers off of your hands? Are you the neighborhood favorite? Like, what are you doing with all these flowers?
So funny thing. So when I started to grow flowers more seriously, I was still like in that COVID period. I really wanted to grow flowers to give away to people to brighten their day.
Yeah, I love that.
Family. Yeah. Our family own, my aunt and uncles, they own nursing homes, like retirement facilities. So I would come in and bring them bouquets. Our neighbor, yeah, we have nurses and doctors in our neighborhood. Just anybody who wanted flowers. I literally filled up my gorilla cart. This is so funny and goofy, but I filled it up with flowers and I walked around my entire neighborhood, like knocking on people's doors to see if they wanted a bouquet.
Oh, yeah.
And I did that. Yeah. I did that because it's like to see, like, flowers are at every important part of your life. They're there when you're sad. They're there when you're happy, when you're celebrating, when you're grieving. Flowers are always a part of it. Right. So it was just like my like tiny little way to give back to our community. Last year, I was like, okay, I spend thousands of dollars on dahlias a year because I buy the unicorns. I buy like the $50, $60 tubers.
Yeah.
The
yeah,
rare yeah. ones that are hard to get, uh-huh. which is a whole nother uh-huh. conversation.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, I need to start making money off of these. And
even just to break even, forget like right. being cash flow positive, but like even just yeah. to break even. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Well, because I'm throwing away so many flowers. Like I give enough to my family, my friends, our neighbors.
Right.
I have flowers in my bathroom, but I still have an abundance. And it's like, it's sad because it's like my yard debris bin is just colorful blooms, you know, because, mm-hmm. you know, I don't cut them. I don't harvest them. So they fade and I just throw them away. So last year I just said, okay, I'm going to make bouquets. I wanted to have a flower stand. Schedules got busy. Couldn't do it. But because I have a corporate job, I just messaged our internal messaging system. And I was like, you know, just really shy. I was like, hey, I grow flowers. Like, does anybody want to buy a bouquet? $20. And they were massive, which I totally undercharged. Okay. Cause my bouquets are beautiful. Like I was
like, going to say $20 is ridiculous. Yeah. Like, they got a really good deal.
Yeah. Yeah. So within like 2 minutes, I had like 20 orders and I was like, and I was started just to cry, Maria. I was emotional. It's like somebody wants to buy my flowers. You know, like it was just like one of the best days of my life. And that sounds so silly, but it really was that like,
it's not silly.
Wow. Like I have something that people want. Like people are willing to buy all of this hard work that I put into these flowers. You know what I mean?
And so, the validation of like, this is right. my passion and this is other people's passion too. Like yeah. what I'm doing means something and the impact that what I'm doing, I'm selfish, not selfishly, but like I'm benefiting from this hobby of right. mine, but right. I now can have other people benefit in a greater mm-hmm. scale.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Yeah. And so I did that and it was great. I mean, figuring out how to transport flowers to work, we need to get that figured out because it was just like water splattering everywhere. I had to rewrap
your desk. Would they come to your desk to pick them up? Like what was the
a lot of people
experience.
Yeah. Well, they were all really nice because it was like mm-hmm. back of my truck in this parking lot. And so people came on their bikes. Amazing. And like picked up their bouquets. One person came to my desk and, you know, it wasn't, I think I'll need to better like, okay, this is the date. This is the time. I'm going to be here. If you're not there, I'm leaving.
Uh-huh.
Just to like, you know, have more of a process. I believe, like, I think having processes is really important in any sort of business. And I just didn't have a good one for this. So it was my first time actually fulfilling an order like that. Yeah. I think maybe we'll have like designated drop-off spots. You know, I think that's the great thing about like having that corporate connection is people want to buy flowers. And if they can get it like from somebody at work on their way home,
you can make it easy for them. So did you sell one-off bouquets or did you sell a subscription that you got a bouquet every week?
Yeah, that's a really, I love that you mentioned that because I'm thinking about doing a subscription-based
a CSA. Yeah,
for sure. So I think I might try to put that out there and see like what that's going to look like on a weekly or biweekly basis. Because then you know, like, okay,
yes,
these customers, you have customers that are coming in and out, you have a business plan, your money's coming in. So everything is just like set in stone. All you're doing is bringing the flowers.
Yeah.
So I'm really bad. Like, I wouldn't say I'm really great about like the money side of the business yet. Like, there's still so much to learn in that aspect. But, you know, I do think like you're right. Like, a CSA is probably the smartest thing to do in my situation right now. So
I'm going to build this whole thing out for you. Send an email. But I see you doing like a 3-month bouquet CSA. And could you do every week or would you have to do every other week?
No, I could do every week. I could do every week.
You could easily charge $35, not more. But like if you want to keep it, if you want to keep it chill, also it's a corporate job. It's people with corporate salaries. And then I think you're going to sell out. I think you're going to have you could set the limit for you being like, okay, this is 30 is going to be too many. Like how many bouquets can I realistically make?
Right.
And then you say it's limited supply. There's only 30 slots. Grab it now.
Right. That's smart, Maria. We might need to like talk offline because this is the type of like business.
Yeah. I'm going to voice mute you. Oh no, this is a no brainer. Yeah. You're going to be rich. And also it's going to be so easy because you'll be able to just do the pickup once a week, in the parking lot.
Right.
But still the joy of it, because also you find so much joy in the arrangement of the bouquets too. Like you make them so pretty.
Thank you. Yeah. I think once you start, you need to have like a recipe that you're building off of because it can take up so much of your time.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like I was making, everyone was individualized. Everyone had like its own little character and that was great. But like business-wise, is that the smartest thing to do?
Yeah.
No, because it eats into your time, right? So I think having like a set color palette, these are the options that you have. You know, every week the, you know, color schemes will change a little bit based on what you picked. And then having that. So I think like, and that's what I learned too, like taking florets farming course is really just having systems in place for when you're making bulk orders for like, you know, store arrangements or pickup arrangements or flower stands. It's all about having a system.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just need to like go back and review those chapters of the course.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think like, go ahead.
Just say, I'm so sad I don't live close to you. I'd be your first.
I know.
Subscriber. Yeah.
I know. I do want to come see your garden once you're like the baby's here, everything is settled.
Yeah.
You
once
know,
it's planted. Once
yes.
I figure out how to grow tropical plants.
Yes.
Tropical flowers. But
no, you're a tropical flower girl.
Yeah. I will be down the line. But
yeah.
Yeah, no, that's so cool. So you've had now this like 6 to 8 years of really just growing for yourself and finding joy. I'm curious, like you mentioned, you visit your flowers a couple times a day to check in on them. Mm-hmm. Like what are your most like joyful practices that you do in your garden?
Mm-hmm. I like to start my days and end my days in my garden, like as much as I can, even in the winter months, like if it's clear enough, there's something to be seen in your garden. And I like challenge you to do that every season in your garden. No matter what growing zone you're in, you can always find something interesting, whether it's like a tree or like a leaf or a branch, like something is going on. In the summer, like spring, summertime, that's like my favorite season, right? Because it's like the flowers have arrived. And it's just like, I remember I interviewed somebody, Dan from Dan's Dahlias, and he said something and it stuck with me because I asked him, he's been growing dahlias for decades. And I asked, like, you know, is it still exciting? Is it fun? And he said, you know, it's just like seeing your old friends again. And I was like, oh my gosh, that is like the perfect, perfect, yes, like feeling that we have with our flowers. And that's exactly how I feel. And so in the morning, I will go out there before I really like, I get on, I try so hard not to get on social media or email or anything like that. In the summertime, especially, I get up and I'll just like walk outside and I'll go check on them. And I'm just like, hi girls, like, how's everybody doing? Yeah. You know, and it's like this little voice that you have inside of you that you have with your plants, and talk to your plants, like be weird. Like, I don't care. I talk to my flowers all the time. I don't care. It's just like my little time with them. And I'll just, you know, touch your flowers. Like, don't just admire them. Go out there and like wrap your hand around them and just look at them. If you see me out in public, I'm always touching plants. And I feel like that's a garden thing. Like, right? Like we're always touching. Yeah. It's weird, right? I'm so much Barbara and Charles, like everybody's touching things.
Yeah, I'm like, wow, this is so weird to be around so many people that do all of my weird like tics and
right. Right. And then at night, usually like I'll cut some stems and I'll bring them in, you know, and just like have those moments. And it's just setting your day up. Like we've talked about this before. Like there's something about being outside in your garden plants that just, it's like therapy. It really is therapeutic. Yeah.
It's so, once again, it's like your nervous system wants to be around plants, but specifically flowers. Like your nervous system wants specific comfort in flowers, also in the fractal, like the geometry of a dahlia, like petals, like the geometry of many flowers is like so soothing for your eyes, like for your... I wrote about it in my book, but I'm forgetting all the fancy science.
Okay.
But like your eyeballs, like looking at these like natural patterns called fractals, and there's a lot of
flowers
and petals.
Okay.
But no, totally. And then where did YouTube come into play? When did you start your YouTube channel?
Yeah, YouTube started, I think, year five, but more seriously, like I would say full time 2 years ago.
Okay.
Before it was just kind of like sporadic, like here and there, whatever. And then Janie had come to our garden from Dick Plant Water Repeat, and she did, and that was the first time I ever met her. And, you know, she did a tour of our garden, and then she and I were talking afterwards, and she was like, why don't you do this full time? Like, why aren't you like posting more? What are you doing? Like, you're great on camera, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well, I don't know. You know, I'm not shy, but I'm like, you know, things aren't perfect yet. And, you know, you get down on yourself. You totally have imposter syndrome, right? So I had all of these excuses, and she was like, just do it. Just do it. And I was like, all right. So, and then since that August, when she came, we started posting 3 times a week and we haven't stopped. So yeah, we post Tuesday, Thursdays, and Saturdays. It wasn't even about like, I want followers and subscribers. And like, it really, it didn't start that way. Like it really was like, gardening has saved me. Growing flowers saved me. Can I help somebody else? And I think we are forever students of our gardens.
Totally.
And yeah, and I think I'm always going to look at it that way. And the best part about YouTube has been meeting people, even if it's virtual online. I love my audience. I really do. Like, if any of you are watching this, you know, I love you. I do. I love the connectivity. I love the conversations, and they teach me. You know, some of these ladies have been gardening for longer than I've been alive.
Yep.
So it's like, they're teaching me, and it's like building community. I'm a people person. You're a people person. And I think that's why we connected right away. We were like, I don't know, I just feel so drawn to you because of that. So I think that just like creating a community for people to connect, whether it's me or with other viewers, it's just, and again, inspiring somebody to do something. Like maybe you'll get excited about trees, or maybe you'll get excited about flowers. And I just want people to like have a beautiful life with flowers in them.
Is your show, for people who haven't watched it before, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, is it all educational, or is a lot of it like updates and tours of your garden?
Yeah.
Week and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I think,
comfort watch.
Listen, we're a goofy bunch. Okay. We're just trying to figure it out. It's definitely more entertaining. Like if you want to get educational, I totally can nerd out and do like, you know, detailed videos, which I have done detailed videos. So I feel like there's a couple of groups of people, like the garden people. And then there's like the cut flower people who just want to like learn more about flowers and how to do this and, you know, all of that.
It's
really just, But it's just really like my experience, you know, sharing what I know. I've paid thousands of dollars to learn from the best in the industry. And I share that on my channel. Like,
oh, free.
I'm sharing, yeah, I'm giving you my playbook. It's right here. So yeah. Just come and learn. Like, let me teach you, or let me just share with you. So really, it's very much like I will continue being a flower person within a gardening space. That will never go away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think you should. I think there's such a passionate cut flower subsect. And then within that cut flower subsect, there's such a passionate dahlia subsect. I mean, dahlia is one other thing. So I think you're like right in the perfect spot. And where do you, you know, as you've had your corporate job, as you've decided to, with a corporate job, do 3 videos a week. I don't know how you do that. How do you, like, where do you see, because the beautiful thing is it's the version of Claudia with the cart walking around her neighborhood, giving the bouquets of flowers away to the, you know, nurses and doctors and neighbors, but now on a digital larger scale, and the impact you're able to make is larger. So what's your dream? You mentioned that you might be selling flowers. Like, where do you want to take this whole thing?
Yeah, I think our dream is to buy farmland. Like, we are serious about moving, which, you know, people ask, why are you doing all of this to this house and garden if you're leaving? And I'm like, I get it. But I mean, I want to leave the space better than I found it. For somebody that's going to care for and take care of and love it. And they might not, but I like want to leave anything we touch, we always are taught to like leave it better than how we found it. But our goal really is to scale up on everything. So scale up in gardening, scale up in flower farming. And really, like, that's the trajectory I want. Like, I want to be one of the flower farmers. Like, I want to be in that circle, like full on. I feel like I am, but I'm still like peeking in. Like, I'm still like, hello, hi friends. You know, I have great girls in that world, but I want to be in that world. Like, I want to sell flowers and dahlias and, you know, tubers and corms and seeds and those things. But I think what makes me different is I'm always going to have a space within a gardening environment that will never go away. And I think we talked about this, like,
yeah,
some people have tried to pigeonhole me into like, you pick one or the other. And I'm like, no, I will do
niche
both.
Niche enough already. Like, gardening is niche enough. You don't need to pick shit. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm like, how large is the, I mean, it's a large population, but like gardening is niche in itself.
Right. Yeah.
You but don't.
We're looking for land in Washington. That's, I think, we like our heart is set on going to Washington. We're very, very similar climate to Oregon where we are right now. So yeah, that's her goal. That's her dream.
Stay tuned. Stay tuned. That's amazing. You're amazing. You are such a joy. You are a little joy bomb. And it makes so much sense that you spend so much time cultivating the original source of joy, flowers, for yourself and for those around you. Where can everyone find you on YouTube, on this website that you're building out?
Yeah.
Where can everyone find you and learn from you? Like you said, you've got all this content for free available to people.
Yeah, definitely. So YouTube, 3 days a week, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. And my channel is In the Garden with Claudia. And same thing on Instagram. It's In the Garden with Claudia. Our website is like coming. It's in the, you know, we're building it.
Okay.
And we're going through, I mean, you have a website, you know what that's like. Mm-hmm. So as soon as we have that, like, I think we'll definitely have more resources available and we'll announce when it goes live. Cause I just, again, I want to give back. I want to give you resources for you to reference whenever you need to. And, you know, just like, I'm giving it to you. So
Yeah,
that's where you can find me.
Yeah. Subscribe to the YouTube and follow on Instagram. Cause I'll say I'm not a big YouTube watcher of content, but I'm a big Instagram content consumer and I've been your Instagram follower for a long time. Yeah. Your stories and your reels, like, you are my comfort follow in terms of just like your flowers, even though I'm not even able to receive them, bring me so much joy of those like golden hour shots. So highly recommend giving Claudia a follow. And well, maybe you can come back on for like a flower arranging conversation one day too.
I would love to.
Well, we're going to have an update to you and I are going to go offline and have a business meeting and we're going to figure out your CSA. And then next year we'll have an update where you can tell us all how great it went on your, how you launched your flower CSA in the summer of 2026. I love it. Okay. Well, thanks, friend. Thanks so much. This is so fun.
Thank you. Appreciate you. Joy.
All right. Follow Claudia's journey at In the Garden with Claudia on YouTube and on Instagram. Like I said, she's one of my favorite follows. Her cut garden is so dreamy. Her like golden hour shots are so dreamy of all of her flowers. I wish I could be her and I wish I could have one of her garden subscriptions. And if you have someone who would love to grow cut flowers or you just think would love this episode, please shoot it in a text over to them. Let's spread the joy and spread the love. And of course, let's keep growing joy.
Plant friend, thank you for tuning in today. It means so much to me that I get to be part of your planty journey. If you like what you heard, make sure you're subscribed to the show so you never miss an episode. We have so many incredible interviews and solo episodes on incredible houseplant and gardening topics that you will not want to miss this year. And while you're over there in the podcast player subscribing, why don't you click over to the review section of Growing Joy with Plants and leave us a review? Reviews are tremendously helpful for the growth of the podcast, so thanks in advance. If you're looking for more opportunities to grow as a plant parent with Growing Joy content, we've got so many options for you. First, I highly recommend you taking the Plant Parent Personality Test. It's free. It's super fun. It takes 3 minutes to complete. At the end of the test, you're going to get your plant parent personality profile and a curated list of plants, projects, and podcast episodes that are right up your alley, tailored just for you and your lifestyle, inspired by your results. The links are in the show notes. If you're looking to uplevel your plant parent game, I have so many free downloads on my website that I think could help you, like the Understanding Natural Light download or 9 different ways to green up your office space. If you'd like to support the show monetarily and help me bring the show to as many people as possible for free, you can head to our Patreon link in the show notes to learn more about our offerings. And finally, I invite you to come hang out with me and continue the planty conversation on social media, on Instagram and TikTok. I'm Growing Joy with Maria. My DMs are always open if you have requests for topics or ideas for the show. Thank you again for listening. It is truly my honor and delight to help you keep blooming and keep growing joy.